This is Covenant Eyes Radio. I'm your host, Luke Gilkerson. Today we are interviewing the founder and CEO of Covenant Eyes, Ron DeHaas. Today, Ron and I speak about the research that's been done regarding the young adult generation and the widespread acceptance of pornography. He and I talk about how pornography is shaping the way young adults think about relationships. Ron also talks about a recent conversation he had with two college students that he believes captures the attitude of many young students today.
And that was what made Brad stand up and said, "Then I am done with this relationship." And he picked up his things and he started walking toward the door. And she called after him and she said, "You mean you're leaving me because I pushed back about your pornography use?" Turned back to Emily and he said, "The girls of porn don't push back."
Hear the whole story today on Covenant Eyes Radio. Well, Ron, what I wanted to talk to you about today was what you see going on regarding the normalization of pornography use today. And I'm thinking specifically of the young adult generation, college generation right now. And the reason I'm asking is we see some startling studies coming out of college campuses right now. One that comes to mind, Michael Leahy, he spent 7 years, the better part of 7 years, traveling around college campuses and conducting surveys about attitudes regarding sexuality. And he collected now well over 29,000 surveys. He found that 64% of college guys are spending some time online every week for internet sex. And he even found around 18% of women were saying the same thing. And this is weekly use of pornography we're talking about here. So there's we could easily say from this that with a survey that is so widespread for hundreds of universities, for thousands of college students, it's pretty easy to say today that pornography use is not the exception. It is the norm. I even think there was a couple years ago, there was a survey that came out through the Journal of Adolescent Research. They published a study that examined the attitudes about pornography in hundreds of university students from six different college campuses across the U.S., and they found that two-thirds of young men and about half of young women were agreeing that pornography, viewing pornography, is acceptable.
Luke, I'll tell you, when I started Covenant Eyes in the year 2000, I was perhaps naive enough to think that at least everybody recognizes that viewing pornography is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that naivety was blown away over the past several years.
Sure.
Because I have found a growing number of young men, and I've done my own surveys on college campuses, a growing number of young men actually find it acceptable, even good.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you've traveled around to different college campuses and you've spoken with deans of men and residential advisors, and you've speaking with college students personally on this issue. And what's your impression as you have traveled around, as you've interacted with people on this issue? What is the prevailing attitude today?
The prevailing attitude is everybody is doing it.
Mm.
And that is when I ask students and deans and RAs and so on, what percentage of students would you say use pornography? And I know you talked about 64% using pornography every week of young men.
But yeah, weekly basis.
On a weekly basis. But if you rephrase that question to just using pornography
at all.
That number is far greater than that.
Sure.
I know there's one study that says 87%.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. My own surveys would indicate that it's even higher than that, that it's upwards of 90%, perhaps upwards of 95%. And we're not just talking about secular schools. We're talking about even seminaries and Christian schools, parochial schools. The use of pornography is just as great as it is in the secular world.
Mm. Wow. So, I mean, in terms of your own personal experience on college campuses, what would you give us a for instance? What kind of?
I can give you a really good example of
okay.
that. I had quite an experience a few months ago on a campus here in Michigan. Not on campus. I was at a coffee shop immediately across the street from campus, and I was sitting there drinking my coffee, working on my computer. They had an internet connection, and there were a few other people in the coffee shop. But in walks a young couple, and this young couple was carrying on a conversation. They stood at the counter, ordered coffee, mm-hmm. and then as they brought their coffee, they ended up sitting at a table right next to me, so that they were right over my left shoulder. If I turned around and looked over my left shoulder, I would see them. In fact, the girl was sitting so close to me that if I leaned back and she leaned back, we would have rubbed shoulders. That's how close we were sitting. And so I was sitting certainly close enough to hear them talk, but they were talking so loud that everybody in the place was listening to them and could hear them.
What were they talking
and
about?
As he walked up to the table with her, what he said was, "Of course, I'm addicted to pornography. I've been using it almost all my life." And he was talking very proudly about his addiction. And what was interesting, not only how openly he talked about it, but how openly she actually agreed that that's okay. The first expression, I heard her use a number of expressions of approval, and it really was approval.
Hmm.
The first expression she used was when he said, in fact, his statement was something about he was in kindergarten, and his kindergarten teacher asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up. And his response to his kindergarten teacher was, "I want to be a porn star." And of course, his kindergarten teacher could hardly believe it. But the girl's response to that was, "Oh yeah, it's good."
Hmm.
And that was his girlfriend's counter to the fact that he wanted to be a porn star ever since he was in kindergarten.
Wow.
Which is a remarkable thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm listening to this conversation. They sit down, and he goes on and he talks about the fact that one of his goals in life was, and I don't know whether he was being facetious about this or not, but one of his goals in life was to go into politics. And he said, "When I'm president, one of the things I'm going to make sure of is that every kid has free access to pornography."
What? Are you serious?
Her response to that was, "That's brilliant." "That's brilliant," was her response.
Oh,
and
wow.
Now, I wasn't looking at her, but, you know, I could almost envision the smile on her face as she said that. And she was serious. At first, I thought, these two kids know I'm the president of Covenant Eyes. they're coming in to mess with my mind. But then I realized nobody knows I'm here. I was in a different town, even, and nobody knows I'm here. And so that can't be true. So I thought maybe they just decided to mess with this old guy's mind. I'm 62 years old. So, but as the story played out, I found out that they were not just messing with my mind. That was quite clear. He went on to describe some of the porn sites that he has viewed, and he was quite graphic about it. Once again, talking loudly enough that everybody in the place was listening, and everyone was listening to what he had to say because it was intriguing. And certainly I was intrigued by the whole conversation.
Hmm.
Specifically what you're talking about today, how culture has changed, that it's acceptable.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, if this was my daughter, I would want somebody to tell her she doesn't belong in this relationship. And so I'm sitting there thinking, I need to get into this conversation. And I didn't know how to do that. But at one point then, it seemed like it dawned on him that I'm sitting there. And he said to me, "Oh my God," that was his words, "Oh my God, is our conversation disturbing you?" And I thought, oh, here's an open door. And so I literally picked up my chair. I turned around and faced them at their table, just sat at their table with them. From that point on, And I looked at him, and I first of all, I asked her name. I said, "What's your name?" Emily was her name, and his name was Brad. I said, "Brad, your conversation actually is intriguing me because I'm in the business." And he, of course, he thought, "You're in the porn." In fact, he said, "You're in the pornography business." And then I explained to him. I said, "No, actually, I have an internet filter, an accountability service. We have close to 100,000 users in 150 countries around the world." And I told him what we do. And that was fine with him. He said, "Oh, that's good." He said, I know some people think it's wrong, but I'm." He spoke of being Catholic. And he said, "I just go to the Catholic priest and my sins are absolved." And I say, "So you recognize that it's a sin?" And he said, "Well, yeah, a lot of people think it's a sin. And so I do go to confession." And I said, "Brad, you know, there's a core issue here. It goes beyond what you and I think about it. It goes more to the core issue is whether it's right or wrong."
Hmm. Yeah.
And of course, his approach is that it's right for him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's actually good for him. And she was agreeing with that. And so I kind of caught Emily off guard by turning to her. And I said, "Emily, how do you feel about his use of pornography?" And at that point, she broke down in tears.
Hmm.
And she said, "I hate it. I hate it. I hate it." In direct contrast to what she had been saying to him all along.
The truth comes out.
The truth comes out. And she was literally in tears from that moment until she walked out of the coffee shop several minutes later. And I said, "Brad, do you see that it goes beyond just whether you think it's right or wrong, that there's a core issue here, that it's wrong?" I talked about the fact that Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount said that if you lust after a woman in your heart, you're committing the sin, you're committing adultery.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just your actions, it's your heart issue.
Yeah.
And that really did not seem to faze him. What seemed to faze him more was the fact that Emily was upset about this. And he said, "So, Emily, do you mean if I look at those two girls over there," there were two girls sitting across the room, he said, if I look at those two girls with lust in my heart, that you'd be upset about that?" And she said, "Of course. You cheat on me all the time." He said, I don't cheat on you." He kept using the word, "I'm clean," because I've, and he turned to me and he said, "I've never cheated on her once in our 3 years relationship." They've been together for 3 years. And he said, "I've never cheated on her once." And she repeated, she said, "You cheat on me all the time with your pornography." And he just literally did not see that. And several times, probably 10 times during the conversation, I turned to her. I said, "Emily, you do not belong in this relationship." And I said, "Emily, you've got to get out of this relationship." I probably said that 10 times to her in one way or another.
Wow.
And finally, it wasn't her, it was Brad. When she insisted that if he looked at those two girls with lust in his heart, when he insisted on that, she insisted that that would be wrong. And that was what made Brad stand up and said, "Then I am done with this relationship." He said, "I cannot take this anymore." And he picked up his things and he started walking toward the door. And she called after him, and she said, "You mean you're leaving me because I pushed back about your pornography use?" And by this time, he was at the door, pushing the door open, turned back to Emily, and he said, The girls of porn don't push back.
Wow.
And I was hoping to have the opportunity to talk to Emily a little bit more, but she sat there for another moment, but then she said, oh, I just have to leave. And she left in tears.
Wow.
And that was the last I saw of Brad and Emily. But I believe that that type of story is becoming more and more typical on college campuses today.
Yeah, it's pornography is totally conditioning the way people think about and understand relationships. Mm-hmm. How they understand romance, or the lack thereof, how they understand committed relationships, how they understand fidelity in a relationship. It's conditioning all of that. I pulled this quote out here because I thought it would be really applicable to our discussion today. From a feminist, noted feminist speaker, Naomi Wolf. She wrote a really intriguing article for New York Magazine called The Porn Myth. She says this: here's what young women tell me on college campuses when the subject comes up. They can't compete, and they know it. For how can a real woman possibly compete with a cyber vision of perfection, downloadable and extinguishable at will, who comes, so to speak, utterly submissive and tailored to the consumer's least specification? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just reminds me of what you said about, you know, the girls of porn don't push back.
Right.
And then she finishes with this: today, real naked women are just bad porn.
Emily, at one point, actually used those very words. I can't compete.
Oh, yeah?
She used those words. I can't compete. Hmm. He said, in fact, she even said, well, obviously, premarital sex was not a concern to them, because she said, well, he won't even have sex with me. And his response was, well, she won't watch porn with me.
Hmm. It becomes, for him, the standard of what sexuality is meant to look like. And when you have a guy who's been watching pornography since before he was in kindergarten, it's not at all uncommon for people to be exposed to porn before they were, even before they were teenagers, before they even enter adolescence. And when you see that kind of the adult population, the young adult population, who are the first of the internet generation coming into now adulthood.
You know,
it's scary.
The age.
It really is.
It's scary. We're facing a tidal wave. Matrimonial attorneys report 56% of divorces are at least in major part responsible or caused by one or the other party's involvement in pornography. Mm. 56% of divorces. Now, there aren't too many 20-year-olds today who are getting divorced. When the younger age grows up, the younger age whose use of pornography is approaching 100%,
yeah,
what's the divorce rate going to be then? It's going to be much higher.
Yeah.
And I'm also guessing that divorce will therefore become more acceptable to them as well.
Yeah.
It'll become the norm.
So let's try to bring a ray of hope into this, because this is a pretty bleak discussion as we're talking about how things have snowballed in our culture. Bringing this back down to especially the parent, what do you see as an important, just vital for parents to understand as they're bringing their child up in an internet-rich, porn-saturated culture? What can a parent do?
Well, two basic things. Number one, communicate with your children that pornography is wrong.
Yeah.
Take advantage of the situation that you have them at home,
yeah,
and train them. There's nobody who is more influential on a young person's life than his or her parents.
Yeah.
And so the parents have a responsibility, an obligation, a duty to teach them now while they're at home that, yeah, the use of pornography is wrong.
Yeah.
And then the second aspect is accountability. You can train people, but then follow up and make sure that they're doing it.
Yeah.
And that's true in business. It's true in whatever we do in life.
Yeah.
We train and then we hold accountable.
Right.
And it just makes sense to train your kids that it's wrong, but then hold them accountable. The reason I started Covenant Eyes was recognizing that the legalistic blocking of filters doesn't provide accountability at all. I wanted something that I could take a report to my son and say, you know, what about this site? What does this site mean? Why did you go here? And do you recognize that there's something wrong with this? And that gives me the opportunity, number one, to go back to that first step of teaching that pornography is wrong. And even those gray areas that you've talked about a number of times,
right?
Those gray areas lead down a path that you don't want to go down.
Right.
And then the second thing, of course, is it trains those kids in accountability.
Right.
And hopefully they will then go to college knowing that it's wrong and knowing that they still need accountability, maybe all the more once they're out of your home.
Yeah. I actually have this great testimony here from a woman. She just wrote this. We just published this on our blog not too long ago. And this is a girl who recently went off to college and... she tells this story, and we'll finish with this, and with her words. The summer before, I'd stumbled across erotic literature on the internet. She's talking about when she was still at home.
Sure.
My parents, as a safety measure, had installed filtering software on my laptop, but somehow the website got passed. Afterwards, I told myself it was just a one-time thing, but within weeks, I went back for more. I told myself it was okay. It wasn't real porn. It was just stories. There was nothing wrong with what I was doing. Before long, though, I wasn't just reading stories, but watching videos. Yet it was never enough. By winter, I could spend several hours every night watching and reading. When I had seen everything possible without hacking the filter on my laptop, I turned to my phone. By spring, I couldn't stop. Even if I was exhausted, I had to go to one more story, one more video. I couldn't have enough. Before, I had convinced myself that I wasn't addicted, that I could stop at any time I wanted. Now I wanted to stop, but I couldn't. My life had no purpose, and I felt I had nowhere to go for help. I was trapped. And then she talks about going off to college and being surrounded by some Christian friends who supported her and helped her, and then taking what she learned there, going back home with it. And she said, I was able to find the courage to talk to my parents about the problem. Bringing it up with them was one of the hardest things I've ever done, but also one of the most rewarding. Together, we decided that the internet filter on my computer was not doing any good and decided to try Covenant Eyes. Now knowing that my parents can see whatever I do online, resisting temptation is much easier. Before using Covenant Eyes, I did not think it was possible to even have an open relationship with my parents. In the past, bringing up personal issues wasn't easy. Now I understand that they really do want the best that God has for me, and they don't judge the decisions I make or condemn me when I mess up. Because I understand this now, it's easy to come to them when I have problems in other areas. I can ask for their advice and respect it because they demonstrated that they're willing to do whatever it takes to see me succeed.
Great testimony.
Yeah.
You have been listening to Covenant Eyes Radio. Get more resources about the harms of pornography. Download our new ebook, Your Brain on Porn: 5 Ways Pornography Warps Your Mind and 3 Biblical Ways to Renew It. Get it now by going to covenanteyes.com/brain-ebook.